Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have everyone have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole, birthday girl.
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Good. And what I was saying to you before we got on air was, you know, sometimes people's lives are getting hard, and, you know, we're there to help them. And you know, if you want to earn a miracle, basically what I was going to tell you is if, you know, you promise somebody you're going to do something, if someone's done something for you, you do it. You don't sit around and say, well, I'm too distraught, I'm too upset, I can't function because I have all these problems and I can't do it. You can't sit around all day and obsess about your problems because nothing good comes about the worrying. What you do is if you're supposed to do something for someone, you've promised them something, do it. No excuses. Do that first and then worry all day. But what I'm finding is that if you want to earn a miracle, you really have to be a person of your word and the things that are expected of you. And, you know, you can't just sit and obsess about things because it really makes matters worse. And we've all been there and done that, where we just obsess about our problems and nothing changes. But, you know, we do earn miracles. So even if, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You're going through a hard time and, you know, it's all about you and your problems. Well, sometimes it's about helping somebody else and then you earn a miracle.
Exactly.
So, you know,
well,
I'm only bringing
it's about helping somebody else, but it's also about when you are asking for something, when you want something, what you're telling the universe and what you're putting out there is you're saying, I'm deserving. You're saying that this is my desire. And you're saying that you're deserving of that desire and that you're ready for the universe to bring you that desire. However, if you're not a trustworthy person, if you are not being the best person that you can be at the time that you're asking, the universe will eventually grant you that when you become the person that you think you are.
Exactly. And,
if
the times that I've really gone through hard times, and believe me, there's been hard times, that, you know, I didn't even want to get out of bed. All I know is I had some responsibilities to do that day. And those people needed me to do what I said I was going to do. And I did what I was expected to do, no matter what.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
The universe meets us halfway. So, you know, God helps those who help themselves, and God helps those who help others.
Yep.
So,
and
you know,
the same goes for those, even on like, people are always saying that there's a deficit of money and that they need more money. They desire more money. They want more money. You know, they're constantly broke and they're not living a life of financial abundance. But at the same time, though, think about what your financial situation is. Do you have bad credit? Did you borrow money from somebody and never make any effort to pay it back? So before you decide that you're going to ask the universe to please bring you more money, take a look at those factors. Take a look at those things and say, shoot, you know what? I borrowed $200 from this person, you know, 5 years ago. And you know what? Even if you don't have $200 to give them, why don't you give them a call and say, hey, listen, I know that you lent me that money and I'm still not doing any better financially. And give them $20 towards it and start paying off, okay? Start paying off those bad debts. Even if it's $5 at a time, even if it's $1 at a time, even if you say, hey, listen, you know, I don't know when I'm going to be able to pay this back. Can I do something for you to you know, to earn it? You know, can I do something for you in exchange for it? Can I do some work for you? Can I supply you with something that I do have? You know, anything like that, and get rid of it. Because
right,
I can't
exactly.
even tell you, like, you know, me, like everybody else, I was in the same thing, especially when I wasn't working, you know, when I was having difficulty finding jobs. I burnt through my savings after my car accident when I couldn't work, you know, and I fell too on hard financial times. And you know what? It wasn't until I started getting my own house in order where I said, hey, listen, you know what? I'm going to give you $20 a week, you know, for the next couple of weeks or whatever to pay off that money that you lent me when I had my accident. And you know what? I've had this thing sitting on my credit report, and you know what? I might as well, now that I do have a job, I might as well just pay it off. And you know what? I'm going through everything. I'm repairing things that I damaged. I'm mending bridges that I thought were burned, you know, from people that had loaned me money that never, you know, saw it after the fact. And you know what? Money is looking pretty good for me right now.
Thank you.
And I'm spending more
Thank
of it
you.
Than I had.
Thank you.
You know?
Now, that's the way it works. It works to give if you can. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm always willing to give, extend, you know, my help to people and everything like that. But I found in my life, most of the people have never done their end of the deal to me. You know, I've done a lot, and maybe the 1% thing they had to do after the 99% I did, they never seem to do their 1%. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm really cognizant of pointing out to people that the universe rewards those people who aren't just worrying about themselves all the time, no matter how bad things are, and who
yep.
are always, you know, realizing life's not a free ride. You're not entitled.
Oh,
your debts
absolutely.
Have to be paid. You
yep.
have to find a
and
way.
And that's my generation, especially
right.
my generation, Cindy.
They just
because
think
for
that...
some reason, I don't know what it is with my generation, we feel that the world owes us something and that if we borrow money, we don't have to pay it back. And if we have a credit card, we just let the credit card company charge it off and then we never have to pay that either. And we have this sense of entitlement that I don't know where the hell we got it from.
It came because in 1983, mind you, we should have had a revolution in this country because the Television Code of Ethics was ruled unconstitutional. And the Television Code of Ethics was a twofold thing. I took it in 1975 as a writing major. And the first part
okay.
of it was crime cannot pay. People cannot
mm-hmm.
steal, rob. They cannot do bad things. They cannot be promiscuous. You can't have excessive drugs or violence. And if someone does something wrong in this episode, they're paid in this episode and not 18
mm-hmm.
later. Now, crime pays across the television set. You know, movies that we see, like The Wolf of Wall Street, makes it look like rip-off people, rob people, and you come out on top. And two, the second part was you can't make people spendaholics. There was limited commercials. There was limited, no reality shows. No, you couldn't even endorse a product in the show. Look at the old shows. They have like cereal, but no brand whatsoever.
Yep, exactly.
You could not put branding in things, and you couldn't make people, you know, spend. So what happened is your generation was raised to believe any way you get money is good. You don't have to pay off people off or back because that's what they do on television, and
mm-hmm.
you can buy. But the point being is once you become aware of that, you have to address that. I mean, I'm a kind of person that I would forget if people owed me money, but I will remember that I owe somebody 10 cents. You know what I mean? I have
oh,
to
absolutely.
Make sure that's paid back. And it's always been an ethic of mine to never live above my means. I live way below my means. I always have. To never
mm-hmm.
think that life's a free ride. To know that rainy days happen and that we should think about that. And, you know, if we hook up with people who are guilty of fiscal infidelity, which means
mm-hmm.
they're not good with money, they cheat with money, they gamble, they spend, they do drugs, they do whatever, then hardworking people end up being in debt because of those, you know, what I've learned now is really live within your means. If you can only afford a small place to live, that's where you live.
Yep.
You know, it's not the, you know, the laws of attraction, the secret was like, yeah, buy that McMansion because God will give you the money for that. That's not how it works. You buy a small house. When you pay that one
mm-hmm.
off, you buy another house. When you pay that one off, you buy another one. But don't think because you're getting, you know, you're buying something, you're going to be able to afford it because, you know, that's how it works. It doesn't work that way. And, you know, a lot of my clients, and the reason I'm bringing this up tonight is I have hundreds of clients in financial messes. And, you know, helping them find their way out is important. And basically, it's what got you in that mess in the first place. Were you hooked up with the wrong person? Were you spending too much money? Were you believing, if you know, the laws of attraction, that I could just buy whatever I want and God's going to pay for it? Are you the generation of entitlement? And let's examine our money issues and where they may stem from our childhood or whatever, and start healing economically, America, because it's in a mess. It's a mess. And, you know, you saw yourself now getting out of it. Don't you feel better? Isn't your life less stressful over this now?
You know what? It's not even like I'm living a life of abundance at this point. But I got to tell you, though, knowing that a couple things have been taken off of my plate and knowing that I'm taking care of things that for a long time I, you know, like a lot of other people, just couldn't take care of, you know, you just feel better. You know, you feel good. Whether you realize it or not, just because you're not thinking about it doesn't mean that it's not there. And knowing that it's not there, you know, and having confirmation of that, it's indescribable. It's a wonderful feeling that you get when you know that you're accepting responsibility for something and that you have completed that portion of it. You've completed your work up to that point. You know, I'm not by any means where I would like to be financially. I do know that eventually, if I keep going down the path that I'm going, that I will get there. And when I take care of something, it's just another step, you know, towards that direction. And it's another step into that goal. And I don't know.
And we're approaching.
I think that everybody would feel better if they did it.
And right, we're approaching 2015, and maybe people's New Year's resolution is to get their house in order, their financial house in order. And it's one of those things that America encourages people to always spend way too much money on the same product you could get for one-tenth of the price if you didn't want a label, if it didn't have to be, you know, statusy or whatever. And in this day and age, all cars are good. All cars are about the same nowadays. All the luxuries in them, whether it's a lower model one or you know, a Lamborghini. I mean, they're all good. So, you know, think about it. Did you have to lease a Mercedes? Did you have to do these things? And why?
Hey, listen, you know, if you can afford it, if you can afford it in your life and you make plenty of money and you have expendable income, and you are not like the rest of the masses that live check to check or that live within an extremely limited means. And sometimes their checks don't even cover how they're living. If you're one of those people, there's nothing wrong with buying something at a higher ticket price.
Exactly.
But
if you can afford it.
When you can't, when you cannot afford it, you don't need it. Period.
Exactly.
If you cannot afford the Mercedes because it's $600 a month, and you only make $1,000 a month, don't use $600 on your car payment.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I see it with grown-ups in their 50s and 60s, who, you know, they have to wait a month for an appointment. And my prices are reasonable. You can get a reading for $50. That's reasonable, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they cancel the last minute because they don't have $50. Like, you knew about this for a month. Now, you canceled the last minute on me, and I have a waiting list of people frantic for readings, and if you only let me know a day in advance, I could have given somebody else a reading who may have needed it. You know, it seems to me, no, there's something wrong there, you know, in your thinking. So it's, you know, when you do things like that, you're supposed to go somewhere and you don't go, or you do that. It's not good karma for the universe. It's always, you know, figure out your thinking about money and, you know, that be responsible. It's really being responsible about money and the whole nine yards. And I think, you know, we've talked about it, you and I, with you, and you've really learned a lot of your lessons, by the way.
Yes, I have.
Right? And you know,
I'm a good student.
You're a good student. So This is the year of financial responsibility. Now, we have a lot of listeners, and I do want to say, you know, we have our show next week, December 11th, and this has never happened in the history of our show, and we've been on since like 2008, by the way, that we have 3 weeks in a row when we don't have a show, because Christmas and New Year's Day fall on a Thursday. And then, so that's 2 weeks. And then on the 18th happens to be when we're celebrating TJ's birthday. So it happens to be three Thursdays in a row. So I'm sorry about that, but I'm just putting it out to you and to our listeners that we will be back, you know, full force. But it's never we've never had it fall like that, have we?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I mean, it's
just unusual.
At the same time, though, you made a post on Facebook. And you had said that you were going to be, for the new year, you were going to be disconnecting from Facebook a little bit because you needed to disconnect. And
exactly.
I think that this is just kind of like a segue into your resolution there, because you're not going to be on Facebook, which probably means that people are going to be reaching out to you on the show a little bit more next year because they're not going to have so much access to you. So maybe having that downtime leading into your Facebook silence is the better thing there.
And again, that post was actually comedic, my darling, because it said I was stopping on December 31st, 2014, and returning on January 1st, 2015.
What? And here I was so proud of you that you were disconnecting. I told so many people. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so proud of her. She always has this access, and, you know, she's disconnecting, and I wish that more people would do this. I went on a rant about you.
No, but actually.
Oh, now I'm upset.
Well,
so that's the universe's way of saying, Nicole, we're going to give you your gift anyway.
A little time off is what I think the universe is saying. You know, you need a few weeks where you're not so connected in every single way. And I do enjoy my Facebook page, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. We're almost up to 2,000 people. And,
that I love.
And it doesn't
take a long time. I just want you to know something.
It takes
one
a few minutes.
One of my friends, it's hysterical. You know, you can't be on it as much as you are. But one of my friends, it's hysterical because every now and then I think that you're posting on my wall. And I look, and it's my friends reposting stuff that you put on Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. All my friends are reposting the stuff that you're doing. I'm like, oh, my God, this is fantastic.
Well, that's
I think
is great because I'm having a lot of fun with that. That's only a 5 or 10 minute a day thing. You know what I mean? It's actually the universe seems to supply me with the post. So the universe is making that a 5 minute deal here. So however that's doing, they obviously like the page, want me to keep it vital, but it's not taking a lot of time to do, and it's actually fun when I do it. So that's a relaxing thing. Now, we do have TJ on the line, and then we'll get one of our callers, because TJ, I think, was walking in Montauk today. He's been doing 8 and 10 mile a day walks. You know, I do 4 miles, but when he does it, he does 8 or 10, so...
Good
you
for
know,
him.
Really,
well, Cindy, I have an idea. Why don't you pick up TJ, and I will jump into the chat room and start screening our wonderful listeners.
Okay, that's a good idea.
To you.
Okay.
All right.
I got TJ first. TJ, you're live and on the air.
Hello, dear. How are you?
Good, and where are you?
I am in between the Montauk Lighthouse and the village of Montauk on the road there, driving to the village.
Good.
I just finished. Had a long day. Anyway, I hope everyone's voting for you like I did.
I forgot to mention that the contest is going to end on December 15th. So, you know, you can vote every day. You can vote once, whatever it is. You can go to my website, grantmeahigherlove.com, and get a direct link to the contest for the best of on Long Island. Thank you for reminding me.
Okay, I love you. Have a good show. I know people are waiting. I'll be home eventually. You know, I'm on my way now.
Drive careful.
I love you, sweetheart. Good.
Love
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. Okay, so I know that was a quick little buzz in there, so I don't know, you know, Nicole is very busy screening, which I love about her, and it was her birthday, and I hope Nicole had a wonderful birthday. She really is wonderful. She does this as a labor of love. She's not paid for this, and I don't think I thank her enough for all of her efforts to be great at her hosting job. Okay, looks like she has screened somebody. Okay, we have Laura in Florida. Okay. Nicole, are you ready to tell me about Laura in Florida? Okay, I think I can read it. Laura in Florida, a couple of years, she's friends in high school, going to visit Minya. Okay, she's going to visit some friends. Okay, let me see if I can get her. Hi, Laura, you're live and on the air.
Hi, Cindy, how are you?
Good. Okay, so you're in Florida, correct?
Right. An old friend from high school found me a couple of years ago, and we've been talking, you know, for that time, maybe two and a half years. And I was going to go to New Jersey and visit her in March. It's been almost 30 years. You know, I'd stay at her house, and now she's married, and, you know, she has a grown daughter. And I don't know, what, do you see that's a good idea?
Well, you were soulmate friends back in the day?
Yes.
Okay, now, it's funny because recently I connected with one of my best college buddies who I hadn't seen in 35 years,
okay,
and another one of my high school friends who I hadn't probably seen in 40 years. And because we had been soulmate friends back then, it was like we didn't even miss a beat.
When I talk to her, it's like, you know, so I think that's probably a good idea to do it then, right?
Right, and you're going to enjoy talking with her, connecting. What happens is most of us in this world seem to lose track with our friends from college and high school,
mm-hmm,
and all of a sudden we don't have any of them left. And it's so fun when you do reconnect. It looks very promising here. She's she could really use a friend right now. So whatever going on in her life,
yeah,
she could really use one. I think you could use one as well.
Yeah, that's
true. Whose mom has passed away?
My mom has passed away.
Okay, because she's the one in the room now, okay? Your mom is saying it's nice to have an old friend.
Okay.
And, you know, your mom is very excited that you're going to go to New Jersey and see her. She's the one giving a big heads up with this whole idea. So she's really excited that you're going to see your friend. You really do kind of need to reconnect with your past a bit. Are you sensing that now?
I actually am sensing that.
I don't
yes.
know why we need to go back. I mean, for the most part, I've left almost everybody behind. And, you know, thank God to Facebook, some, you know, people are reconnecting and we're getting to meet them again. But, you know, you're going to find that you're just going to feel like very young when you're with her.
Okay.
Like you're in college again. Like, wow, this is cool. And lots of laughter and fun and, how many days are you planning on staying?
It was going to be 2 weeks.
Okay, good. And, you know, for both of your sanity, she doesn't have to spend every minute with you. And you
right.
don't have to spend any minute. So if you could sort of, you know, fill in some, are you going to have a car there or no?
I don't think so, but I might rent one. I don't know. Because I have
or
a cousin I want to see there, too. So
that's what I'm saying. If you could maybe mm-hmm. schedule something that you do for a day or two here or there, or, you know, tell her she doesn't have to spend every minute with you. You're perfectly happy to occupy yourself.
Right.
You know, that would be good. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, she's still got her normal life going on there, so she can't,
right.
you know, stop her life entirely. And, you know, you'll be there to help her, but, you know, you don't have to spend every minute together.
Okay.
Who's the alcoholic that died, by the way?
The alcoholic. Well, before my mother passed, she, well, then she had cancer. But before that, she did have a heavy drinking problem.
Because she's apologizing to you. Okay.
Yeah, she had
I thought it was your mom, too. You know, I mean, she's talking about... sorry about the alcohol, so I wasn't sure if it was her, but she's apologizing to you for her behavior.
Okay.
And asking you to forgive her, and that, you know, you were a very good daughter, by the way.
Okay.
You know, she seems to be the one that wanted you to reconnect with your friend, so
okay.
there may be some things you just need to talk about, and it looks really, really, really good. And of course, she's a little nervous. 2 weeks is a long time, but tell her, you know, bring some books, you know, your Kindle and say, you know, don't worry, I got to catch up on some readings. If you got to go for a few hours, I've got reading to do. I've got,
right, just
you know,
that.
Tell her I'll watch a movie. I'll go for if the weather happens to be a little bit warm, you'll go for a walk so that, you know, she doesn't feel like she's babysitting you.
Right. Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
This year my son is getting health insurance. He's had some health issues all through college, and we've been paying cash for this and that and the other thing, but this year he's getting health insurance. Is that going to make him feel better? Like,
is he getting it through Obamacare? Is that what he's getting
through? No, I'm getting him a private through Florida Blue, a private plan.
Yes.
So
it's going to make
not
him feel
only
better.
Like to make him feel better physically of all the, you know, these autoimmune and it's throwing off his whole body, but like mentally, will that make him feel better too? Just knowing he can do that.
Right, exactly.
Because, you know, when you go to the doctor and you don't have health insurance, they don't really, I don't know, they don't take you too seriously, you know what I
but
mean?
But it can go both ways, too, because if you do have good health insurance like my dad had,
uh-huh.
they don't let you die either. So, you know, health insurance is a double-edged sword.
I know.
Sometimes if we didn't have it, they wouldn't be giving us $1 million of useless treatments at times.
Right,
and,
right. I mean, I'll watch that. He watches what they say and things.
You know what I'm talking about.
Help improving mentally also, you know, because it's an
autoimmune disorders we give ourselves, by the way. So you might want to find out what the mind-body connection is going on with your son.
Right. This is
why he's
going
beating
on
himself up. What in his, you know, life he's, you know, angry about. Who's hurt him that or betrayed him that maybe he's wondering why he didn't see it. Autoimmune disorders can get better when we address the issues that are bringing them on.
Right.
So, you know, yes, it's good he's getting health insurance because that'll, you know, relieve some of his guilt. You know, he feels bad how much it's costing you, too. So
okay.
That's part of the problem.
Do you see him getting a job this year also?
Yes, things actually look much better for him, by the way.
Okay.
So, you know, he looks good. Again, do you know what brought on the autoimmune disorders? Do you know what was going on in his life that was so toxic and stressful?
I don't know if it's when me and his father separated there. And I mean, I don't know if that was around kind of happened not too long after that. I mean,
right. So he's had a hard time with the divorce. And
I think so.
So maybe he's beating himself up because children sometimes feel guilty. Maybe if I had been a better kid, maybe if I didn't do this. Children have a lot of mixed feelings about divorce because, you know, sometimes they're wondering what they could have done to alter it or make it different. For you, you know, you might want to talk about that with him.
Yeah. He's older and now he's 22. He's already graduated college.
How old is he?
22.
Okay, but it's still there. In America, the children...
It happened a little later. He wasn't quite finished with high school yet, so, you know.
It's been hard on him. Just know it's been hard on him. He's a good boy. He's, you know, it looks very, very good for him this year, so knock on wood on that.
This relationship I'm in, what do you see happening here?
Well, he looks like a good man. Are you committed to him? Because it looks like there's a little commitment issues going on here.
Yeah, not totally, no.
Okay, that's what your mom's not loving. The men are the new breed of masters over women now. They kind of
actually, I think it's more me at this point.
Are you afraid of commitment?
I don't know. I have this desire to just be on my own, and I don't know. I have to stay with him because it's right now I'm not working and he does, you know, support me financially, but I'm not happy in a sense that I don't see myself with him forever.
Right. And that's part of what, you know, you're going to have to figure out how you're going to support yourself. And that's why, you know, talking with your friend, going for 2 weeks there, a break from this man, being on your own 2 feet, and tell your friend you don't need her to entertain you all the time. You need to look inward and figure out where you're going in your life. Talk with her about things, maybe brainstorm with her,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, find your way out of that relationship if you don't want to be in it.
Do you see me in this much longer, or do you see me getting out of this?
Again, you know, women can't get out of relationships unless they could support themselves.
Right.
So this man may not want you to support yourself because he doesn't want you to leave. So he may not be the best person to talk about. He could be disempowering with you. So you know what I'm talking about on that one.
Right, definitely.
So that's why the 2 weeks away is why your mom wants you there. She will help guide you during that time, and you will be very guided and, you know, figure out how you're going to support yourself.
Okay.
And your son feels guilty, too, because he knows some of the money he's taking from you keeps you trapped maybe where you don't want to go be right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing a better year for you, 2015.
Okay, that's good.
just see your way out of this situation. Nothing is, you know, bad in your cards.
I don't want to hurt him at this point. It's been a while, but I know in my heart and soul this cannot be forever, that this, you know.
Well, he's not a soulmate, so you can't stay with a man who's not a soulmate forever. He's a man to fit a plan. He's like an arranged marriage that women had in the past, a financial situation. It is a prostitute archetype in terms of selling our soul for money, whether we're working at a job we hate or living with a man we don't really want to be living with. Okay. That won't sit well with you for long.
Mm-hmm.
So just know that maybe you're scared to get out there and, you know, you sort of, maybe you needed to just hide here for a little bit. You needed a place to hide and feel safe financially for a while.
Right.
But it's time to move on. It's definitely time to move on here. You'll find your way. I'm not worried about it. You will find your way.
And you see him being okay and everything, because I know eventually, you know.
Well, he's not going to be happy when you leave.
Right.
And he might not be very nice about it. He's the kind of man who, you know, might have to hate you if you leave. So, I would advise you not to say anything till you're ready to leave.
Right. Okay.
Well, good luck to you. Call in and let us know what happens after New Jersey.
Okay.
Tiffany, you have in New Jersey.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. Now, Nicole, didn't that call fit in with what we were talking about with money and having to get our money house in order? If our money house is not in order, we find ourselves in places we don't want to be.
Well, you know what? It's
stuck.
Kind of like when we say to people, you're not going to find happiness on the outside, you got to find happiness within first. It's a very, very similar concept. If you're building your life starts with you, your life starts, you know, in your home. If your home is not in order and is not in the way that it needs to be, you're certainly not going to accomplish anything outside of it. It's a domino effect that you have to recognize, that you start out with yourself, and then it's your immediate house and your immediate surroundings, and then from there, that's where you grow and you branch out.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I think that, you know, everybody tends to stay stuck because they're afraid, and, you know, afraid of, you know, the unknown, but really, we have to teach women to support themselves first and foremost. And oddly enough, most of the generation of women being born now are in the last, say, 40 or 50 years, their main goal was career first. It was career, love, and then babies. So, you know, we've got to have that career being important, you know, and that ability to support ourselves. And I always tell people, you better learn how to wait on tables when you're young, because no matter what, if you can wait on tables, you lose a job. You can get a job tomorrow waiting on tables. We have to have some skill that we can in a moment be able to do. That's why I always felt really secure about having my own businesses after a while, because I knew I could always go wait on tables if I needed to. I never had to anymore, but it was something that was always like, well, I could get a waitressing one night a week and Saturday if I need to pick up extra money, whatever.
Well,
but
I was the same way, though, because, you know, when I was struggling to find out what direction I wanted to go into, part of my problem was that I had too many to choose from. I had so much experience in a little bit of everything that I was like, okay, do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? I had no idea, and but it was a very, very good backup plan where I could go into so many different directions. And it gave me freedom to go into so many different directions, because there was never, even though I had difficulty finding a job, a lot of that was my being indecisive that contributed to that. But
exactly.
The fact that I had so many options, though, it was refreshing because I had a choice.
Exactly. And that's always something really interesting. Get choices, you know, try something. There's, you know, you can't stay too long not working, because every day you don't work is really, you know, time is money. So if, you know, do something, find something to do. and, you know,
yep.
don't waste too much time, because I'm hearing way too many women stuck like our grandmothers had to be stuck. I can't understand that.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what happened. My generation was very woman's lib. We were very much wanted to support ourselves, be educated. I don't know what's been happening lately that women are in such financial mess again.
That has been happening on every other turn of humanity.
Right.
People are not focusing on the things that they need to be focusing on. They're focusing too much on everything else. And they're doing it because they are trying to escape from what reality actually is. That's why that there's so much focus on so many other things. People in your generation, they focused on work and they fought for work. They fought for the right to work. You know, I mean, years and years ago, and then women gained equality. You know, some sense of equality at the very least in the workplace, and they became career women. And now you've got women that are putting us back in time, that are not really concentrating so much on it. And again, it's that false sense of entitlement. The same thing is happening with race in this country. You had people like, you know, like Thurgood Marshall and Dr. King fighting for racial equality, and you look at things now and we've gone backwards. You know, it's terrible, terrible state, and people are too concentrated on the past and worried about what's owed to them instead of concentrating and building up the future.
Right, and remember I was telling you that woman that was a grown-up who canceled her appointment because she didn't have $50. When she came a month later for her reading, she had an $800 pocketbook. I'm like,
that's why I shouldn't have the 50 to give you.
I mean, come on. You had to buy an $800 pocketbook. I mean, don't do that if you don't have money.
And I'm going to say one thing to all of our listeners. We appreciate every single one of you that supports us. We appreciate every single one of you that supports Cindy, okay? And Cindy does not get paid for this. Cindy does these readings, and she gets on the show every single week since what year, Cindy?
Oh, 2008.
Since 2008, we have been on just about every Thursday, and we miss very, very little shows. And the reason why we're here is to give back. I give back for all the help and guidance that Cindy has given me, but it's also my way to help you guys, and so that I know that with what I have learned, I'm passing that knowledge on in some way. And I'm helping my friend with her message and passing that on. But Cindy does not get paid to be here. She's here because she loves what she does. And she loves her clients, and she loves the people that want the help. And even if you can't afford it, your way to get that reading that you might need is to call up this show and to share your experience. So if it's something as nominal as $50, or if it's something like going to her home or going to get a reading with her and canceling at the last minute, come on now. You know, she's going above and beyond to make herself accessible, at the very least, courtesy. Be courteous.
It's so funny because you were screening our first caller, and did you know what I said that you didn't hear? I said,
No.
don't thank Nicole enough because Nicole does this and she doesn't get paid.
I was in the chat room.
You can go listen on the archives of the show, and you'll be like,
oh,
what?
My gosh.
So isn't that the funniest thing that I brought that up, that you do this as a labor of love every week? So
You know what? I love you, and I love the message that we try to give people, and I love the fact that I get to be a part of that. And you don't expect anything. You don't expect money for this. I don't expect money for this. I expect that maybe people listen. And I expect that hopefully they're listening with their minds and their hearts open and that they learn, because that's the whole point. But
and
at
you
the
know
very least, common courtesy and a
right.
modicum of decorum should
exactly.
be standard.
And it's funny because people are starting to complain about Facebook when everybody has, you know, some financial ruin they've done to themselves when they start their own fundraiser for themselves. I mean, you know, this is not like... You know, I've screwed up, so, like, everybody send me $25, like, for your own charity, for yourself. I mean,
yep.
It's getting to be almost like a joke at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not, you know, if you have someone who's in need and they need something, people will start a charity, but not just because you haven't worked in a year and, you know, you don't really want to work, but, you know, now I need money. So, like, I'm having a Facebook page for me, so send me money. I got like four of them in the last like couple of weeks. I'm like, come on, this is absurd. So it's again, you know, rethink everything about, you know, your money and the way you're spending it, viewing it, and that sense of entitlement that I don't think any other generation ever had. I think their new life wasn't a free ride.
It's terrible.
They used to hate to have to.
My generation is some of the most selfish people out there. I'm sorry to those in my generation, especially for those of you who are not that way, but my generation is some of the most spoiled and selfish people I have ever met.
And you know that my generation is the one that raised them, and I keep saying what a failed experiment we did putting you all first and giving you everything that you ever wanted, because we look what we monsters we created. But
yeah, look what you did.
All week long, parents who were very good parents, who educated their children, who gave them everything, and when they stop writing checks for their 40-year-old kids and 30-year-old kids, these kids don't speak to them. So if they had four kids, three aren't speaking to them, and it's breaking their hearts.
I have news for you. My grandmother, you know the strife with my grandmother, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you, and even our listeners know some of the strife with my grandmother. And let me tell you something. My grandmother is 70. No, I'm sorry. My grandmother is 80. My mother is not a young chicken, okay? And her brother is a year older than her. And let me tell you something. Once my mother cut my uncle off and said, listen, we're not helping you anymore. I'm in charge of the funds. You're not getting any more checks. It's time for you at nearly 60 years old to stand on your own two feet and to start picking up the pieces of your life that crumbled apart 30 years ago. It's time for you to be a grown-up now. And would you believe that now we are approaching my grandmother finally getting into the nursing home? Her health has declined more than anything. Now, this was her little prince, okay? Her health has declined. She can't see. She can't hear. She can't walk. She can barely feed herself. And since my mother cut him off, he has not shown his face in her house. He has not called her. He has not tried to make any contact whatsoever.
Now, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. And I have to comfort these clients by telling them it's not about you. You were good parents. Okay.
Yes.
Don't take it personally. If people have two kids, one's not talking to them ever again. So it has a lot to do with the money, the entitlement, the free ride, stopping. But these people are in their 60s. They can't be supporting these kids forever. They won't have enough money to ever be able to retire, or for when they're old and their
Absolutely.
Kids aren't going to have any money to help them. So it's
absolutely.
It's again, you know, the free ride kind of mentality. And it epitomizes in America by people who are getting tickets from the speed cameras that you know are there, okay, in the school zone. And first of all, it's a school zone. Just drive slow. But people protesting because they've gotten tickets, but you did
That's
something
absurd.
Wrong. There's a speed zone, and
it's
your reward. So pay your ticket. I mean, what is it that we don't have to listen to the speed zones? This is a school. We could speed right through the schools, and we shouldn't get tickets because it's not fair we got a ticket. But it says 20 miles an hour. It tells you. It's not like it says 50 and you went 60, or, you know, 50 and you went 50 and they're giving you tickets. It says 20, so go 20 for five seconds. But
exactly.
It seems to be
for
that's
the three
what people
blocks,
are protesting.
You can go 20 miles an hour for the three blocks.
Right, and that it's a legitimate, you know, whether it's a fundraiser for the Nassau County or whatever it is, you don't have to give to the fundraiser, just do the speed limit.
Exactly.
But it's people, you know, hundreds of people protesting this. This is the biggest issue, that you did something wrong and you don't want to pay for it. And it's crazy. And it's a kind of thing that, you know, come on, people. You know, if you're going to protest, pick something more important than that one. And it is a school zone, by the way. You know, there is a reason for it. Do you know what I mean? It's a school zone. And, you know, that's the kind of thing
in America. Listen, I am not all for this Big Brother's always watching. I'm not all for the traffic cams and things like that. You know, because I think that there is a line, and I think that those cameras do cross certain lines.
Of course.
And to an extent, I don't really think that I even agree with the school with the school zone cameras. I really don't. Okay.
No, neither do I.
If it's there, and if I break the law, then I'm responsible for the fact that I did not follow instructions. Now, if I would like to protest, not because I got a ticket, if I would like to protest because of something else, because I think that it's unfair or anything else,
get rid of them.
A completely different story than saying, hey, I've got all these tickets and that's not fair. Well, what's not fair? The fact that you got caught or the fact that you disagree with that particular action and you're still following and doing what you're supposed to do until we make a positive change?
Exactly, and that's what I'm talking about. You know, we do have a lot of Big Brother. I mean, it is that way too. You know, you're exactly right. But, you know, the point being, you know, until we change that law, you follow it. You won't get a ticket.
There's,
you won't get a fine.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not that hard. It's like slowing down
change.
For a minute. It's slowing
There's
down
ways
for
to
a
bring
minute.
About change.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And,
just
well,
because you wanted to change does not mean that you break the law until it changes. It means that you wait for the change to be made, and then you do what you're supposed to do.
Especially on something as petty as that. I mean,
this is
not life
we
and
have
death
bigger,
here.
If you haven't watched the news, lady, we have bigger things to overcome than school zone tickets. But, all right, Cindy, we do have time for one more caller, and this is a very, very special caller to me. All right, and all I'm going to say is that we have Jean on the line, and you want to know why Jean is on the line right now? I didn't even ask Jean what her question was. Jean is on. I didn't even ask her what the question was. I didn't care what the question was. All right? All I needed to hear from Jean was that you told her to call in a couple of weeks ago, and she didn't, and she did what you asked her to do today, and she called. So I figured it was very, very nice, a full circle there, that we were talking about keeping your word and doing things, you know, that are asked of us. And you know what? Jean is keeping her word. And although she didn't call in a couple of weeks ago, she is calling in tonight to keep her word. And that's all I needed to hear. So let's go and talk to Jean.
Boy, that was so funny, the way you described that.
I didn't care what you wanted. I just, you know, hey, that's it. Hi, Jean.
Hi. The reason why I didn't call when Cindy asked is because I had a date with my son.
Oh.
Now, when you have a date with your son, you drop everything. Because he doesn't have time for you usually.
and he has a girlfriend that looks like the most...
Not anymore. Like
a Barbie doll. He doesn't have her anymore? He dropped the Barbie doll?
He was going to drop the Barbie doll 3 weeks ago when I saw you.
Yeah.
But the Barbie doll decided to cheat on him.
Why am I not surprised?
Oh.
Remember, you showed me the pictures of her when she went out with her friends. And
well,
when she goes out with her friends, she looks like Miley Cyrus dressed, okay?
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, that isn't a girl that's going out to go out with her friends and have fun.
Oh.
That's a girl that's going out to find another guy, probably a richer one.
Well, he was going to break up with her, and she pleaded not to. And then they went out on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, which was his birthday. And I don't know, they got back home to his apartment. She was sleeping, and her phone kept going off. He checked her phone and found out she's been cheating on him for 2.5 months.
Why am I not surprised?
Wow.
Well, my daughter and I are not surprised, but we had to deal with the whole thing. 5:30 in the morning, mommy, come get me. I'm going to kill her. You know, the whole thing. But anyway. You know.
Well, at least you have the common sense to call you before I
kill her. Murder charge. She wasn't worth a murder charge, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's another thing. I would like to tell all parents, no matter how old your children are, be there for them. He's 25 living on his own, but knew he needed a parent, and his sister was home from school. So he knew what he needed, and he used it.
Wow.
Because we never say no to them in these times of need, I should say. You know, I got dressed at 5:30 in the morning and went and got him as he's walking the streets near his house, you know.
Wow.
But the real reason, well, Nicole, I used to call her champagne taste and beer budget.
You know what? That goes very, very well with one of my famous sayings. I always say, Bergdorf taste and Walmart pockets.
But the real reason why Cindy had asked me to call in at my reading, I just wanted to tell all, I was unemployed for 6 months. Now, I was in retail for so many years and didn't realize that I wasn't happy. until I'm out of retail now and I didn't have to work Black Friday or whatever. But it took 6 months to find a job that wanted me and I liked also. But I just wanted to tell everyone, use your Department of Labor. Use everything that you've done over the years. You can't sit home and wait for a job to come to you. And like
wow.
you said in the beginning of the show, get your life together. You sit and you meditate and find out what is wrong. Why are you not getting that job? Mine was another reason. I have a felony 20 years ago that's supposed to, no one's supposed to look at. But you know what? They looked at it. So you had to clean yourself inside out before you could go and get a job and find out how you can market yourself instead of sitting on the pity pot. And
right.
after
mm-hmm.
and I was in two bad relationships. And after talking to Cindy, she asked me a question. Am I afraid to love again? Do you know for 3 weeks I've been thinking about that?
Good girl.
And yes, I think I am.
Okay, and that's something because you know you've been asking for love, and when love doesn't come at the exact moment we're asking, sometimes God is saying because we're afraid to bring it because you're still afraid, and you
right.
might run. So if we're going to bring you this soulmate, we got to be sure you're not going to be the one who's going to run, because if you run from this one, we can't offer you another one for a very long time.
Right.
So, of course, you are a little afraid to love, and, you know, life gives us waking dreams. Your son going through what he's going through and feeling all this upset gets you to see, you know, it is scary to love. It is scary. You can get hurt. But what is our choice, to be alone?
No.
What is our choice to live a half-life then in which, you know, we don't open ourselves up? And the one thing we're supposed to do is have our blinders off and see people for who they are, good, bad, and ugly, but not get jaded. That's hard.
Yeah.
You know, and the only way you can do that is to trust your gut. And if your gut tells you somebody's not good, something's not kosher, and you could clearly see with his girlfriend that she wasn't kosher, she wasn't good. He couldn't see it in the beginning because he was blinded by her looks, by sex, by, you know, thinking he loved her, okay? But the blinders came off with him, and he was going to break up with her. And then he's just so pissed off that, you know, she's cheating on him. But really, if you tell somebody you're going to break up with them, they're going to cheat on you. Because they really, she can't be alone, so she was looking to replace him. And in reality, know that that wasn't a very high level of love. It was very narcissistic. It wasn't meant to last for very long. But even so, you get hurt. Your ego gets hurt. Your heart gets hurt. Your soul gets hurt. But, you know, Jean is one of the people who has learned from all of her mistakes more than any client that I have ever known, and I have never heard Jean play victim. I've heard her almost want to say it,
yep,
and then stop herself. And that's why she got this wonderful job, and she got it on a page of Long Island Jobs Facebook. Was that what you were telling me when you got
it? Long Island Job Search on Facebook. You put on there what you're looking for, and employers... Huh. will call you, contact you. Or
now,
other people that are reading it will say, well, I saw a job today in Walmart posted by a plumber that, you know, maybe that's what you want. But it's Long Island Job Search. It's on Facebook. The lady found me, which means it was meant to be.
Wow.
But also, the whole thing with, also when Nicole and you were talking in the beginning, I live a simple life now. I live by myself. I lost, like Nicole, everything when I was unemployed. So you're
mm-hmm.
rebuilding. But what I
yep.
do is I give back in my crocheting.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Now, you were unemployed, and you made us, and you made for Nicole a beautiful afghan. You've given me one. That's
yep.
what I'm saying. You give back.
That afghan just came out of storage and is going on my bed, by the way.
Yeah. And you know what all you got?
It's winter.
I don't have one for me. But
if I could make you one, I would, but I'll buy you one.
I'll make one.
We can't make that. Forget it. I'd be the rest of my life, I'd be doing nothing else.
I'll get some puppy paint and I'll write something really nice on it.
Yeah, it's to the point where can't live over your means, and you need time for you from inside out. And that's what I've learned from both of you over the last year of, you know, the talk shows. I've been going to Cindy before that. But you learn a labor of love to yourself.
Exactly.
And the whole thing that Cindy taught me was get off the pity pot and love yourself first.
Exactly. And it's a little bit of tough love. It's a little bit of kicking.
Oh.
And again, I can't stress
that's
enough.
That's why I'm here.
That I was exactly the pity pot, the victim, all my, you know, for
I was.
So long. I mean, I lived that. I lived that life. And, you know, nothing changed until I said, you know, I'm not going to be the victim anymore. I'm going to be the victor. I'm going to be the one who comes out on top.
Whole thing, Cindy, is when I said, I'm not going to be by myself anymore. I'm not going to be on the pity pot and sit home and wait for somebody. Last week, I went to a restaurant in Babylon on the Water that I like because they were having a very good lobster special. I sat at the bar all by myself and had my dinner, and I had my Kindle with me.
Good girl.
But you know what? I enjoyed myself. I didn't read much because people were all over talking, you know, and doing conversation back and forth, and they would, you know, they would ask me questions or whatever, and, you know, it was a nice way to make friends. But it's to the point where you have to do what you want and don't wait for anybody anymore.
Exactly. And I tell you, when I met TJ, I had to go to a party in Southampton, and I went by myself because I didn't want to hear anybody saying they're not going to have a good time, they don't like this, I got to hang out with them. And I was a little nervous because it was this huge mansion, and I didn't know anybody, and I was hoping I was dressed properly, you know, and this woman comes up to me, she goes, I love your shoes. And I said, oh, it's just what I needed to hear, that I looked okay. And her name was Judy. And Judy liked me so much, and her husband, and they invited me to stay at their home in East Hampton, their lovely home, and they became my friends. And then TJ took a writing class in East Hampton. He met Judy. And when Judy had a party, I met TJ. So I had to go to that party in Southampton by myself to meet Judy, to meet TJ. TJ had to take that writing class by himself to meet Judy, to meet me.
That's what I'm saying. It's to the point where you have to do what you want, but the other thing is you have to find out what you want inside and what's blocking your karma.
Exactly. And are you in your own way?
Right.
And what negative thoughts are keeping you stuck?
I'm
what
the queen of
judgments
being in my own way.
And what judgments of your parents? What judgments of money issues? What victim consciousness is getting in your way? And it's really, in 20 years of doing this, the one thing that I learned is that people who play victim, their life never changes.
Well, the funny thing is, my son tells me, you know, when I go get him, you know, I go over there finally. He goes, I already talked to Daddy. I'm like, you called your father in the morning. My ex-husband never answers or anything. And the thing is, so then I said, he goes, I talked to Daddy, drive me over there. Michelle, my daughter was staying there this vacation. So I drive him over there and everything. So later that day, I didn't even have Thanksgiving this year. I went and volunteered at the soup kitchen because that's what I wanted to do.
Now, there again, you're giving to others. Instead of sitting there home and feeling bad that you're all by yourself on Thanksgiving, you go and there's people worse off than you, and you go and you be with people and you do something great. You couldn't have finished our show on the note that I wanted it to end on. I don't care how bad you think your life is, there's people worse. And Jean just, you know, said, you know, she did, rather than spend it alone or do it, she went and
I could have went to my brother's, but did I want to hear the crying kids? No, I wanted for once after working in retail all those years to see what it was like to have a simple, thankful Thanksgiving.
Perfect. Perfect. And the karma, the good karma that you got from doing that,
it
will come
best.
Back to you. And that's exactly something that we just have to give something back.
I wanted to. I just, you know, I didn't tell anybody I was doing it. I didn't, you know, like my kids knew. But I didn't care. I wanted to in my heart to do that. So
wow.
Then I tell my sister-in-law the next day the whole story about what happened because she's like, why didn't you show up for dessert? And I told her the whole story. And she goes, how can your ex-husband console your son when your ex-husband was the cheater?
Well, it makes that's a waking dream for your husband.
That's what it was.
The devastation that cheating does to people.
Well, he said that to my son. He goes, I never realized how much I hurt your mother until I see how hurt you are.
Right. And you see, maybe he needed, it's all good. And he needed to be with his father.
Yeah.
He needed to perhaps forgive his father in some way. And maybe his father helping him through this will help him forgive his father.
Yeah, I hope so.
For destroying your family.
Yeah.
And, well, we are at the end of our show.
Yes,
and
we
you,
are.
You gave us the finale that we needed on tonight's show.
Yes, just everyone do what you have to and just give back to people in simple things. Doesn't have to be money. Simple.
No, doesn't have to be. Has to be all
hey, guys, Winston Churchill said it best. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give.
That's what I do.
Exactly.
That's great. That's a great saying.
Right.
Well, have a wonderful week, girls.
And we'll talk to you next December 11th. But remember, we have no show on the 18th, unfortunately, the 25th,
yep.
And January 1st. We have the holidays here.
Oh, that's
so.
Fine. I listen anyway. I listen to almost all of them, so don't worry.
Good. Well, we still have one more week.
All right. Have
thank
a good
you
week.
Thank you. Good night, Jean. Now,
good
Nicole,
night.
didn't you just love the ending of our show today?
I just love Jean.
I know.
Didn't it
just talk what we were talking about? We can always go out and give a little bit.
I loved it for on many reasons. First of all, Jean was the best way to close the show because she actually, again, the symmetry, we went full circle. Jean called up, you know, a lot earlier, you know, a few months ago or a year ago, and she was not in a very, very good place. And even when she made me my blanket, she still wasn't in a great place. And you hear the difference in her from when she first started calling to today. And she's a different woman. And it's because she's listening and she's not focusing on what everybody's doing to her. She's focusing on what she's doing for herself. She's doing things that make her feel good. She's doing things that are good for her soul. And that's coming through. And she's getting the things that she desires now because she's making those changes. So, again, the symmetry is just beautiful. And she could not have possibly ended the show any better for us.
Exactly. Well, we'll all talk next week. And have a great week, Nicole. And thank you, thank you, thank you for tonight.
And thank you, thank you, thank you, Cindy. Good night.
Bye.